You saw the great throw that he threw to Garrett Wilson for the touchdown. You know, that's not an easy throw, and it's just out of the reach of the defender, and it's a perfectly thrown football. You saw him reading defenses. You know, you heard Kurt Herbstreit last night talking about the way he's moving safeties and linebackers with his eyes. That's vintage Aaron Rodgers. You know, I was a little surprised that he moved around as well as he did, but that was obviously apparent last night as well, as you brought up. So I think the other part of this is that you got to remember they're playing a New England team that is really, really struggling offensively. I mean, they are terrible offensively. They have no playmakers. They don't even attempt to throw the ball down the field. And Jacoby Brissett was just, you know, average. I felt bad for him because, you know, he had that young offensive line in front of him. They got young wide receivers. This is not your parents' Patriots with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick standing there on the sideline. So you got to take that into account. But that's exactly what I expect for the first 8 weeks of the season, that simply because of the quarterbacks that they're playing, the teams that they're playing. I told you I felt like the NFL did the Jets a lot of favors. Now they got to go over in London and play the Vikings, which is going to be a little bit more difficult than I think any of us thought it was going to be. But I will say last night, that was the vintage player that you saw all those years in Green Bay. And you saw the arm strength. You saw the accuracy. You saw the quick release. You saw the communication at the line of scrimmage. Has a run play call. Let's throw it out to Alan Lazard. He's one-on-one. He makes a couple guys miss. He's in the end zone. Those are plays that he does. Those are plays that he makes in a split-second decision. And, you know, he has one play on, and he's going to go and do something else. And those wide receivers are all alert for that type of stuff to happen at the line of scrimmage. So there's not any more you can say than we've already said in the last 3 minutes about his performance last night. It was a thing of beauty, and now they get 10 days of rest, and they get to enjoy a long weekend, which I'm sure everybody was looking forward to. But 2-1 after three is exactly what we expected.
Yeah, and I don't care that the Patriots are terrible at this point, because you have seen some major screw-ups from good teams losing to bad teams early on in this season. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals losing to the Patriots week one in their own building, the Baltimore Ravens losing to the Raiders in week two in their own building. You know, those are two major ones you think about. So, you know, this was something that had to happen for the Jets, and it did. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is getting better and more comfortable every single week. And it just shows you that this is why you sacrifice everything for a guy like that. Because there's not someone at that position that can change the entire team more than a Hall of Fame quarterback who still has it. I mean, there's not, find me another guy, unless it's LeBron James or Steph Curry in their prime, that can go into an organization and completely flip the script.
Tom Brady.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. A guy like that, a Hall of Fame guy.
Peyton Manning did it for Denver.
Right. So there's a few guys that have done this. And Aaron Rodgers could be the next one. Peyton Manning going to Denver, winning a Super Bowl. Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, winning a Super Bowl. I mean, the script is there. And I know it's early, but Aaron Rodgers can do that too. And it's amazing. Rob Saleh looks smarter. Nate Hackett looks smarter. Garrett Wilson looks better. Yeah. Tyler Conklin looks better. I mean, everybody, the offensive line looks better. Breece Hall, Braylon Allen look like unstoppable running backs. It's just, it's incredible when you have a guy back there that is 50,000 times better than the crap you've been throwing out there for the last 15 years, right?
I was thinking last night watching this, and, you know, last week I felt the same way, but especially last night because it was even better than last week, and he's gotten better the last 3 weeks, you know, but I think the competition has gotten worse the last 3 weeks. However, I was thinking that the Jet fan is actually looking at a real passing attack. I mean, the ball is coming out. The ball is in the middle of the field. The ball's on the sideline. The ball's at the line of scrimmage. The ball's 20 yards down the field. I mean, it's all balanced, and that's what the offense is supposed to be. You know, I think they ran the ball 27 times, I think, last night, somewhere around there, maybe a little bit less. But the balance between the two running backs, the tight ends involved, both tight ends are involved, by the way, the third wide receiver is involved, the two stud wide receivers or three stud wide receivers are involved. So this is what a quarterback should be doing, should be distributing the ball.
Distributing.
Distributing the ball, yes, thank you. Distributing the ball, get everybody involved. And I thought early on was a little unique with Garrett Wilson. He had him on a back shoulder throw, and Garrett didn't keep his feet in. And that ball was perfectly thrown. That's what he did with at Devontae Adams all those years in Green Bay. And he wants him to be Devontae Adams. I think there's a little bit of a – still a little struggle there, but that's minor. They'll get it right. They'll continue to work. He'll continue to push Garrett Wilson and get him to do the right things, give himself more room on the sidelines so stuff like that doesn't happen, especially as the season goes on and they start playing tougher competition. But, yeah, the only thing that came out of last night that was a little bit – concerning is the Morgan Moses injury to his left knee. So that I worry about that. Hopefully he's going to be okay. The Jets defense had 7 sacks, and Jeff Ulbrich was bringing the heat. He was bringing the heat because he knew the offensive line for New England was a disaster, and they knew that they had basically a quarterback that was a statue back there.
Yeah, and that left tackle who was a rookie and had no idea what was going on, had like 3 straight holding penalties. I mean, it was...
How about Drake May getting sacked 3 times?
Yeah, I mean, he got in there, and it was just, it was tough. It was tough sledding for him. At the very end, I actually stayed up and watched that entire mess live. Maybe I should have gone to bed probably earlier, but I wanted to see him. Once I saw him warming up, I was like, you know what, let me stay up and watch this.
The Patriots may be, they're going to be one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in the league.
Sure.
They are totally rebuilding right now. They are a mess. It's going to be a long season for them. You know, they got the win the first week against Cincinnati, which makes you wonder what the hell Cincinnati was doing.
Yeah. I mean, right. I mean, but that's exactly the NFL so far in these first couple of weeks.
But not the Jets.
This could have been a mess for them. It could have been very easily a mess for them.
We thought the Jets would be 2-1 after 3.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a disappointing opening night against San Francisco, but then they came back and they beat 2 teams that they should have beaten because of their quarterbacks.
Yeah. But I can't.
And other things, I should say.
Right. But I can't, when the Jets have been who they've been for so long, just say, oh, well, you know, the opponent was terrible and they stomped on him, and that's the only reason why they won. I mean, I can't.
That's not the only reason why they won.
No, I mean,
They took care of business.
Right, I can't say that. Yeah, I know the Patriots are bad, but this is what you're supposed to do. I mean, they had 3 points. You know, they killed them. And it could have been worse than that. It could have been 35-0 last night.
And here's the best thing for Jet fans. They got a 1 o'clock Sunday game a week from Sunday.
Yeah, against the Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos.
And it's home.
And a rookie quarterback, assuming the rookie quarterback is still playing. It could be Zach Wilson. Never know.
It's not going to be him.
I know. But the way these things happen in the NFL and the way these young quarterbacks are running around, you just hope that they make it through their next game.
Yeah.
So they get to sit around, watch football this weekend, and they have the Denver Broncos coming up next. And the Denver Broncos will be one of the probably 5 worst teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, when you've watched football for your entire life and you have certain feelings, you root for a franchise that does more losing than winning, and you see a quarterback drop back on a 3rd down, and you have, like, there's a feeling, there's this anticipation. And I've seen this my entire life, you know, as a Vikings fan that has not had great quarterback play, and also watching the Jets and the Giants. And Eli, during his prime, that was one thing. But after that, it's been tough. But, like, on a 3rd, there's no better feeling than, like, on a 3rd and 6, when you've got a quarterback that you feel like there's a better chance that he's going to make that completion and the chains are going to move than not. I know this is just a subtle thing, mm-hmm. but, like, for years and years and years, 3rd and 6, Zach Wilson drops back, and you're thinking everything but completion. Rolls out, throws the ball away. Rushes the throw, throws it to some guy's feet. Gets sacked, throws an interception. But with Aaron Rodgers back there, it's like he drops back, he knows what to do, ball out of the hand, maybe comes out, takes a couple of steps outside of the pocket, throws the ball to a wide open Tyler Conklin. I mean, it's just when he is back there, there is confidence, a complete confidence that he will figure out a way to get that done. And that feeling is such a 180 from what the Jet fans have been seeing from that position that you can't put a price on that, you know, to have a guy back there that you have faith in. It's just, it's so different than what we've been watching. And it's God, I just hope it continues in this way. And it has to. It has to against the Denver Broncos, and I think it will.
Now, why wouldn't it? I mean, His arm strength looks great. His accuracy is great. His quick release is spot on. His movement last night was a 10. Never expected that. I thought the offensive line did another great job of pass protection. A couple times guys got through, but that's going to happen when you throw as much as they did last night. But again, it's a balanced offense, which you got to appreciate if you're a Jet fan, because you haven't had this in a long time. You know, maybe the last time you had this, I was thinking about this, is probably when Ryan Fitzpatrick was here, where they were able to run the ball and they were able to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, like on a consistent basis, where they were, you know, a competent offense. This could be an explosive offense. This could be a huge offense and put up huge numbers when it's all over said and done with. But again, like, you know, it's a game last night where, you know, you could feel the excitement in the building. I was talking to some guys who were at the building last night, and they were like, man, this is unbelievable. They felt like they finally got their quarterback. And I'm sure that every fan that went there and watched the game got such great pleasure out of that ball coming out of that pocket with a spiral, hitting the guys in the chest, hitting it in their hands, and actually throwing the ball away from defenders like on that Garrett Wilson touchdown. That's a Hall of Fame throw.
It's everything that you envisioned in your mind when that trade was made. Everything. I mean, when you dreamt of what it was going to look like, that was it. That was best case scenario. What'd you make of the Rob Saleh, the weird Rob Saleh, Aaron Rodgers interaction on the sideline? To me, I thought this right from the beginning, I don't think it was anything controversial at all. I think it was Aaron Rodgers saying to Rob Saleh, hey, it's too early to celebrate. You know, they were only up, I think it was 14-0, and he was just doing that thing like, hey, too early. Like, it was almost as if it was, here, I'll give you an example. It's like me and you out there playing golf, and we're on a team together.
All right.
And we win the, you know, we do a bet front, back, overall. We
yes.
win, and we win, like I make a putt to win the front. And I go over to you like with a big like pound, and you go to me, hold on, Biggs, we got a back and we got overall ahead of us.
That's true.
And you stop me from celebrating in that moment.
Focus.
Right.
I need your focus.
Right.
We haven't accomplished anything yet.
Right.
We just
got
to keep going.
And I'd be like, okay, yeah, you know what? Let me chill for a second.
Yeah, but unfortunately for Aaron Rodgers, what he doesn't realize is that poor Rob Saleh has got PTSD from coaching the Jets. You know,
yeah.
Think about how this has been a long 4 years for him.
But
there's been a lot of losing.
Yeah.
And he's actually blowing off some emotional steam. And remember when he first got here, everybody said, where was that emotional guy that we saw on the sideline in San Francisco? Well, there he is. You know, so Aaron's trying to temper the enthusiasm for sure, because we got a lot more game to play, and we got a big season in front of us. And Rob is just trying to be that, I think, that excited coach that we all wanted to see. But, man, I'll tell you what. When you have a great quarterback, the coaches all look completely different.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Everything looks different, and that's why that position is so important in this sport.
Well, did you think that was, I mean, was that
I don't know. I
think you're right. Significant
or not? No, I think you're right.
Okay.
I think you got two awkward guys having an awkward moment, and I think it's probably due in large part to Aaron Rodgers going, okay, guys, you know, I've been here before.
Yeah.
I've done this before. Let's not overreact to what we're doing, because this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. That's what I took it.
If I go to golf and I go to one of our recent rounds together, and I think about that a moment like that, it's when I had the eagle at Brookville Country Club.
Yeah,
and you and Bob are like, oh my god! And I'm like, hey guys, we haven't won anything yet. You know, I've been here before. I've done this before. It's okay.
Yeah.
And you guys were like, you know, falling over yourselves.
Well, I mean, it was impressive. I mean, you hole out from 103 yards away. It's pretty damn impressive. You know?
No, I know. I'm not saying it isn't, but all I'm saying is like, just let's everybody calm down. You know, I know you may not have been there before, and one day you will get there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll have that moment for yourself. And then after that moment, you'll be able to appreciate all the next moments that come after it, but you're not going to overreact to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the video we did with the Barstool Golf guys on that first hole where it was your drive, my second shot, and then you made that 15-foot putt. You dripped it in there, and I smacked you on the ass, and you said, act like you've been here before. And I said, well, I haven't, man.
Yeah, that's true. You hadn't been there.
I had been there before.
But I think that's
neither has Rob Saleh.
That's exactly right. I told you, it's the PTSD that he has from coaching the Jets over the last 3 years.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a huge deal. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers disrespects or can't stand Rob Saleh. It was just like, dude, chill out. And that's exactly what the Jets organization needs is the Aaron Rodgers mentality like that.
Temper the enthusiasm down outwardly, not inward. Inward, you want intensity. You want to be focused. You want to be driven. Outwardly, you also want to act like you've been there before, even though a lot of these guys haven't been there.
That's right.
But Aaron has. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit of maturity on Aaron's on his part, though. But when you saw Alan Lazard score the touchdown last night and run over and hand him the football, you know, I think that tells you a lot. I think that tells you that, you know, that was, you know, Aaron was very excited about playing last night and getting that touchdown pass and getting that ball. And then I looked at the ball because they went close up on it.
That ball looked like it had
been. I'm like, look at that ball, man. I wish I could have played with balls that were manipulated like that.
I mean, my God, that thing looked like it had been through a war.
Oh, my God. Al could throw that ball. You weren't around when Al was a quarterback for his flag football team.
Yeah.
And it was a co-ed flag football team.
Right, and all the women were running the wrong routes.
And he was getting annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had that ball, I mean, he could have thrown it.
Yeah, but he was throwing it. It's just that the female wide receivers just weren't on the same page.
You remember
putting them in tough spots.
You remember when Tom Brady was taking balls air out of the balls?
Well, yeah.
And they were talking about Aaron Rodgers liking the balls opposite of the way that Tom Brady.
Yeah, like
that ball looked like a medicine ball last night.
It was crazy. I know.
It looked like it was really
completely
pumped up.
Different color and. Yeah,
what is that?
Yeah, I don't.
It's not the ball I played with.
Yeah, I mean, and everyone's like that.
Where is it? Don't we have one here? Yeah. I mean, that's the ball we played with. Brand new, slick and oily.
Slick and oily.
I'm complaining, of course.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's the ball right there. Brand new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul Tagliabue. Brand new footballs. They got to be brand new. They got to be orange. So you have orange on your hand after the game and everything. Yeah. But now.
Under
Roger Goodell, you can manipulate these footballs any which way you want. And plus, the kickers have their own kicking balls.
That's right. A little less deflated or inflated, rather. You know, different balls.
Yep. But anyway. I mean, it's a bitch. It really is. When you watch and you see that, and you go like, wow, wish I could have played with those. There you go.
Thank you.
Nice catch.
Pretty good night last night at MetLife Stadium. Rodgers takes the snap. Play action, looks right, pumps once, throws right, caught, front right pylon, Garrett Wilson, that's a Jet touchdown! Garrett Wilson, toe taps, just inside the front right pylon! And Aaron Rodgers puts it right in his hands, and the Jets extend their lead.
And that was Bob Wischusen.
My penis looked bigger.
Not only did Aaron Rodgers play great, but my penis looked bigger. Can you believe it? Look at this.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't complaining last night sitting next to Sean Winters.
I was going to say, you think he told Sean Winters that at some point?
Yes, I do. And and Sean texted me. He said, I told Joe there will be no negativity in these seats.
Say, I told you.
Yeah.
And so. That is going to be, you know, now whether or not he brings Joe back now because they won. That's a whole another.
Well, they're 2-0 together now.
Yeah, I know.
2-0 together.
And could not have been. There was nothing negative about last night.
Nothing.
Like, even for Joe, there's nothing negative from last night. Pretty good. That was pretty good.
No, it was great.
Tidy win.
And is he on? He's going to be on today, right? Doesn't he come on every Friday? Or is it Mondays?
He goes on Monday with Evan and Tiki at 4 o'clock. I don't know if he'll come on to react today.
You got to move it up to today.
I would think so.
Want to hear that.
Little reaction Friday.
Yeah.
Because they wait till Monday. The game's 3-4 days old.
Yep.
Yeah. So. And, you know, I'd like to hear about Joe's experience.
Me too.
About his penis or?
No. Just the enjoyment of the game and the fact that he was with Sean and the Winters family and everybody. I mean, that's just like, it doesn't get much better than that if you are a Jet fan.
It really doesn't. I mean, it's perfect. That's like a core memory. This is going to be one of those things. Hey, remember Aaron Rodgers it beat the Patriots on that Thursday night, and we were there, and he played great. Like, that's just one of those. That's going to be a you don't forget
spot. Not only
spot.
Beat them, toyed with them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what it felt. It felt like they could have put up 40 points last night.
It was awesome.
I mean, you know, the Patriots' offense is terrible.
I know. Well, part of that was the Jets getting after them, too, though. I mean, they harassed them last night. So it was pretty good.
Well, they were blitzing, and they had offensive line problems. Kind of reminded me a little bit of 1995 for us. You know, we had a lot of different guys playing. Nobody really knew what was going on.
I mean, but they still went. This was a team that went into Cincinnati and beat them in week one.
Which is crazy when you think about it. And Cincinnati had two turnovers. The Jets did not turn the ball over last night. They got one turnover. They had seven sacks. And they held them to, I think it was 139 total yards. That's how bad the Patriots are in offense.
Mm. Pretty hideous. You're right. Anyway, Bob on Q104.3, the Jets Radio Network. That was the Garrett Wilson touchdown. Here was Wilson, 24-3 the final. Everybody seemed to get in the action last night. They ran the ball. They caught the ball. Here was Wilson. So do you think about how much difference a year can make?
yeah, I ain't going to fake it. I do. So
yeah, he has thought about it. Okay, makes sense. Here is Rodgers himself. Just overall, that's a solid night.
Well, I would love to score on the first possession, but I felt like I don't think we had a three and out all night. Sounds about right. So we're efficient offensively, good on third down.
And TV just showed this strange exchange, which went viral.
I mean, just the way that Aaron's looking at Rob Saleh is just strange.
Well, so what was up with that strange exchange?
No, it was not really awkward at all.
You were pushing away though when he went to hug you. What happened?
I didn't know. He's not a big hugger, usually, so I didn't know he was going for the hug. He likes to do the two-hand chest push as well. So, but he talks a lot about two-score leads. So I just kind of gave him a push and said, two-score lead. That's what happened.
Two-score lead, bitch.
To me, he said too early. That's what I was reading. But now if it's a two-score lead, I get that.
To me, it looked like he was saying, weirdo. The look on his face is like, what are you doing?
Hey, well, you know, if that's the only controversy coming out of last night's game, that's fine.
You're welcome. Yes. I mean, I think that's what he might have been saying that.
That's what it should have been.
All of a sudden, you're Vince Lombardi.
Here was Tyler Conklin. All the talk about, you know, Garrett Wilson, obviously, even Breece Hall scored. Braylon Allen was good, but Conklin had five catches for 93 yards. He was the leading receiver.
And I was just doing my best to make myself available for him on a couple of scramble drills, and he found me, and all I had to do was catch the ball.
And that was courtesy of SNY. And the other
friend of the Boomer and Geo show, by the way,
Tyler Conklin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. We love that guy.
And by the way, Jeremy Ruckert better learn how to block.
Caught a couple passes.
Yeah.
Lindenhurst.
Yeah, no, come on.
South Shore, Long Island guy.
I understand, man. Got a block at the line of scrimmage, man. You know, Braylon Allen's not going to break every tackle.
Dude, let me tell you something. I am obsessed with that guy. He has got so much potential. He is humongous. He does break a lot of tackles. He's quick. I mean, he's got the body type. It's kind of hard to explain. You thought Corey Dillon when you first saw him. You know, he's not quite as big as Derrick Henry. He's got a look to him that
he's got long arms. And he has an upright running style.
You know what he looks like? The fastest linebacker on the field is getting the ball handed off to him. That's what he looks like
too.
When he gets the ball, I get excited. I get like
you do. Really?
I get like football chills.
Chubby.
Football chubby.
I do. Like Joe.
Football chubby.
I get football chubby. I do, man. I'm telling you, he jumps off the screen to me, man. I would love, and he's 20 years old. I think about
it's
that.
Amazing.
Run the hell out of that guy.
They will.
Yep.
Rough night for Jacoby Brissett. He was sacked five times. The Jet defense had seven on the night, and he puts it very bluntly.
It really didn't come down to the plays. It was just like they just beat our ass, to be honest with you.
That's it. They beat our ass. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're a Patriot fan. Oof.
Yeah, not great. They are 1-2. The Jets are 2-1. Jets home for Denver next Sunday. The Giants will be in Cleveland on this Sunday. Now to the baseball at Citi Field last night. You had the Mets opening up this four-game series with the Phillies, and very quickly Got out to a nice lead. I put these back-to-back for you.
Deep to left field. Down the line. Right by the wall. It is gone. A home run. A line drive home run for Mark Vientos. He hit it just over the orange stripe and onto the Great Wall of Flushing. The 1-2 to Alonso hit in the air to deep right field. Castellanos back at the track, at the fence. He jumps. It's gone. Pete Alonso.
Yeah, back-to-back and a belly-to-belly with Vientos.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
At that point, hello, Howie, on Mets Odyssey Radio.
How was the crowd last night, Jerry?
I thought it was really good. Well, I don't think it was sold out, clearly, because the left side of the upper deck wasn't full. But, yeah. I mean, just watching on TV, it sounded electric. It did. And
oh,
even
I know, yeah. I mean,
they
it
talked
sounds,
about
sounded
it,
like
too.
There were people there. It's a playoff-type game atmosphere.
It certainly sounded like it.
And it had to be impacted by the Jet game. It had to be.
I think, yeah, I think it'll be even better
tonight.
Three games, I
agree. Especially with the way they're hitting the ball, and you see the five-run fourth. So you got Vientos and Alonso back-to-back. They win 10-6. Nimmo doubled. Homer drove in three. The three-run homer was, I thought, the biggest blow in the game. And then, Alvarez, a three-run homer as well. And then Acuna with an RBI triple. So this guy, pretty good.
He's been a nice little addition. Iglesias has been good at the top of the order, you know, and this is all they're doing all of this without their best player this year.
That is correct.
That's the sign of a pretty good team.
Acuna Matata,
him, yeah,
yep.
Here was Nimmo. Crazy to think, first time the Mets have had 10 runs in three straight games in their franchise history.
Pretty amazing that the Mets have played over 10,000 games, and we're the first ones to do this. Score 10 runs plus in three games in a row. That's pretty special.
Beat up on an old friend.
Yes, who looked awful.
Yes, he did.
Taiwan Walker looked like he was throwing batting practice last night. They went out to the mound in the first inning to talk to him.
He was doing
terrible. Yeah, he was really not good. You asked about the feeling inside the stadium. Here was Carlos Mendoza.
Having the fans behind us, the atmosphere today was incredible. Really good crowd. They were into it from the very beginning. First inning, we hit a couple of homers, and we feel it in the dugout.
Mets now 85-68, maintain that two-game lead on Atlanta, who beat the Reds. They're also remain tied with Arizona, who did beat Milwaukee. Let's get to the Yankees before we get to Ohtani. The Yankees were in Seattle. They wound up losing 3-2, but the concern really is not the loss. It's more this.
Here's the pitch, and it's lifted high in the air down the right field line. Soto moving toward the sidewall. Soto slides right in front of the sidewall. And did he get it? Did he get it?
No.
No, he did not. That is a fair ball. Did he get it? Soto's on his knees right now, down the right field line.
Yeah, so it looked like he banged his knee into the wall.
How was that a fair ball?
I don't know that it was a fair ball.
Did he? It sounded like Justin said fair ball.
Well, he caught it, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
Oh.
Juan Soto!
Ouch.
Only because of the injury. Here's the update from Boone explaining what happened.
He's
and what
out
he
for
thinks.
Like 17 weeks.
No, I don't. I think he'll be out there tonight, but we'll see.
Well, he was down and kind of getting his wits, and then as he kind of started to get up and as he stood up, I think he realized he was okay and like banged it. So kind of like, banging your knee on something.
What he did. So we shall see. Also of note in this game, you had, what's his name? The pitcher, I'm blanking out. Jay Cousins. He had pectoral tightness, so he came out for that. But he said he's fine. We shall see. And then you also had the drop ball by Jason Dominguez in left field. Goes as a sacrifice fly for Justin Turner that got the first run in. Yankees wind up losing 3-2. They are in Oakland for the final time this weekend because they'll be in Sacramento to play the A's next year. Garrett Cole, the start, first pitch on the fan at 9:40. And, yes, in Miami, Shohei Ohtani put on an absolute show.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive, deep right field, he has done it. It's the first time Ohtani in his career has had a three-home run game. Can you believe this?
6-for-6 on the day, 3 homers, 2 doubles. He drove in 10, and the Dodgers beat the Marlins 20-4, even took the curtain call there down in Miami.
There's your MVP.
Yeah, well, I would say so, especially with Lindor now hurt down the stretch.
Yeah, 51-51 home runs and stolen bases.
Pretty good. Pretty damn good. Guardians beat the Dodgers clinched a playoff spot with that win last night. The Guardians clinched a playoff spot with their win over the Twins 3-2-10, which means your Tigers are now tied for the third wild card spot in the American League.
They interviewed Jim Leland yesterday, who's still working for the Tigers as a kind of like an advisor.
Yeah.
He's all pumped out by the Tigers' resurgence.
Jim Leland, one of the greatest guys ever. Baseball guys ever.
Yes, 100%. And it was a great interview, and he was so funny and so insightful.
He was great. I got to know him a little bit when I was in Pittsburgh because he was around there a lot and interviewed him, and he's just really an all-time baseball great.
Yes.
And in college football, Arch Manning will get his first start tomorrow against Louisiana Monroe. These games, Texas versus Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah, come on. I mean, Louisiana Monroe will make $2 million in this game. And, you know, the amazing thing, if you saw last week, Arch Manning was running with the ball. Like, he runs like Peyton Manning used to run, but actually with speed. He leans forward like Peyton.
He looks like him.
He looks like Peyton running.
But just fast.
But Peyton didn't run that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they clocked him at speeds that were shocking.
Yeah.
All right.
He'll be the first overall pick in 2 years.
Yeah, most likely.
We know that. I think we all know that, and he's a good kid, and he's got great examples on how to go about your business, and he'll do that.
Would you tank if you're the Giants for the next year and a half?
Well, I mean, the Giants do also supposedly like Quinn Ewers, and, you know, and of course, they'll have Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, and Shador Sanders to choose from, most likely.
It's amazing. It's the same formula every single week.
I know. I'm
shocked. I don't know why you still remain shocked at Al only declaring just a handful of cool games cool. Now, what about this one? What about that one? Well, you know his formula by now, do you not?
Cowboys are always a cool game for some reason. I'm so sick of it.
It depends who they play, but they're playing the Ravens. That's a cool game.
Yeah, the Ravens are 0-2.
Yeah, but still.
What?
Well, like if they lose 0-3, they'll start getting out of cool games.
You agree that's a cool game. I mean, your problem is more that Al doesn't declare games cool. Like you want to see more cool games.
I would say like the Texans and the Vikings. That's a cool game.
I have to say that it is. I wouldn't normally think so, but the fact that they're both started 2-0, it's indoors with those guys, those offenses. You know,
Justin Jefferson.
I mean, that could be back and forth crazy.
You know what, Boomer? Take a hike because I'm out of here. Woo!
Good. So, obviously, Texans-Vikings were not on your cool game list this morning.
It's close, though. That was a close one.
Yeah, so you only had two cool games. Yes. Obviously, the Ravens at the Cowboys was one, and the other one is what, the Eagles at the Saints?
Correct, because the Saints are high-scoring team.
Yeah, we're picking both of those games.
You don't like the Chiefs at the Falcons?
No, Falcons are not interesting.
What do you mean not interesting? They won a game at the end of the game against the Eagles this past week.
Still not there yet. Not interesting.
Not interesting.
They're not cool.
Al has very high standards.
I mean, if you sat here and you said, hey, Panthers at the Raiders is a yawner, I'd say, yeah, I understand that.
That's worst game ever.
Right. Giants at the Browns?
No, not interesting.
Okay.
Interesting to
us. How about Jaguars at the Bills?
No, Jaguars are not there yet.
Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah. I mean,
here's one. Because there's big personalities in this one. And they're both 2-0 teams. And they have the number 1 and 2 defenses in the NFL. That would be Jim Harbaugh's Chargers at Mike Tomlin's Steelers.
Mm. Steelers to score 9 points.
Really, that's a real tough.
That's boring.
But that's going to be a great game. Like,
it's not.
Coach
I agree
Cowell
with Al on
that one. Though. Say, you know, that's a purist game. That's a game where the defense wins championships. Al,
you said purist.
Yeah, and that's right.
Hello, Al Dukes.
Yeah, I do not want a field goal kicking game in Pittsburgh.
No, I agree with that.
There's two cool games, Boomer. You just have to deal with it.
I'm not dealing with that. I think there's more than two. So,
yeah, I think that the Texans and the Vikings and the Chiefs and the Falcons should have been in there. That would be my opinion. But I understand his formula, though, and I get it. But like the Falcons.
We have to be accepting of it.
Oh, that formula
I'm not accepting of this.
It's huge success, that formula.
That formula is a piece of crap.
But what that formula does is create discussion, obviously. I mean,
yes.
You get fired up every single week. You start looking, all right, what are the cool games? Let me see it. How is this one not a cool game? Every week, because he knows what he's doing. He's stirring the pot. He's good at it.
I know he's good at it, and I know he likes to get underneath my skin. I understand that.
And the listeners of the warm-up show, 90% agreement with Al.
They all agree with Al. Oh.
Well, if you listen,
they love Al. Understand that.
If you listen to Al on Monday mornings, by week 15, there's going to be no cool games because he's now starting to hate the NFL. He's getting bored by the NFL. He's had it with all sports. There's going to be no cool games by the time we get to December.
Actually, as the NFL moves on, I get more interested. It's these first, these preseason games that are now actual regular games is what ticks me off with the NFL.
Sloppy.
Sloppy.
No offense, really. Yeah.
By the way, it's not just Al who decides.
I know Jerry's there with him.
Yes. Jerry also...
Well, Jerry's always going to pick the Cowboys as a cool game.
Not always.
He gets a paycheck from them.
He does, indeed.
But like Cowboys-Redskins, he's not saying cool game.
Well, there are no Redskins. It's Commanders.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wolf boy.
Yeah.
Check yourself.
Check yourself.
Check yourself, Wolf man.